So we're going to start our call with a connection moment. So you can do these either standing or sitting. So take a nice deep breath and exhale. And just feel yourself relax into your body. Kind of like, ah, I'm here. Take another nice deep breath. And exhale. And one more deep breath. And just exhale, just allowing your energy to spill from your body, fill the room, fill the house. And let it just keep filling and opening and expanding till you're as big as the universe. Feeling yourself fully connected, fully online, fully present, and connected to everyone on this call and the content of our call and the possibility that's here for you on this call today around a really vibrant topic, which is around your conscious business model and charging what you deserve. And just take a moment to just feel the value that is you, the essence that is you, what you offer, who your being is here in the world. And just allow that to ripple easily, just like a pebble in the pond, so naturally, just rippling, expanding easily and naturally. And just notice that whatever is here for you, you'll capture, you'll get. And so make sure you have a pen or and a pad close by so you can jot a couple of notes down, any ahas, any insights, any rockets that go flaring as we engage in this really exciting conversation with Tom. And so just as we're on the call, if you've got questions, make sure you go to the webcast and submit them, because this is a great opportunity to get some one-on-one feedback from Tom. So just go, it's on the replay page, consciousbusinesstelesummit.com. If you wanted to go to the webcast to submit questions, there's a link there under Tom's entry, and that way you can submit your questions. For those of you that are Twitter lovers, you can go to tweetchat.com. And our room is CBT09 if you want to connect and share with other folks who are on the call at the same time, commenting on whatever is occurring. So I am very, very excited to have Tom Buford on the call with us today. And the topic of our call is Charge What You Deserve, Business Model Makeover. And Tom is the founder of ChargeWhatYouDeserve.com. And he's been self-employed as a service professional for the past 14 years. He built his first very successful business as an automotive painting contractor when he was only 27. And within 2 years, he turned Paint Solutions, Inc. into a solid six-figure business. So I think Tom gets service business. Since then, he's been a coach, a consultant, an author, a speaker, a skydiver, and a musician. And Tom tapped into his experiences as a business owner and created Charge What You Deserve, where he shares fee-setting strategies with service professionals so they can live the lives they've been dreaming. Using his techniques, Tom's clients have been able to double their fees and attract more clients than ever before. Wonderful to have you here, Tom.
Thanks for having me. It's wonderful to be here.
Yeah, this is great. This is an area that I know for myself, I'm only beginning to get this, Tom.
Yep.
And I've been a coach for over 6 years now. And as I was looking through and actually going through your home study course, there were so many ahas. I was like, where was this? Like, you know,
yeah.
five years ago.
Yep.
So
why I created it.
Yeah, it's amazing, all of the great tips. So I really want to dive into this, and I know that you've got something that you want to share around this business model makeover. So did you want to get started there?
Wherever you want to get started.
I'm
here for the ride.
Yeah, well, maybe before we even get into the business model thing, I just wanted to probably backtrack a little bit. And, and the basic question, one of the things, and we were talking about this yesterday with Suzanne Evans, why is it that undercharging is the kiss of death for you, your clients, and your business?
So I think that undercharging, it brings on a vicious cycle. And, you know, I was just talking to somebody the other day, Kevin Nations, and he's known for, you know, helping people create big ticket programs, real big, you know, if you want to start charging $10,000, $20,000 per coaching client, things like this. And, yeah, you know, setting your fees too low, what happens is you're not bringing much accountability to the table. And a lot of people, you know, oftentimes they find themselves in a situation where they realize that they're in a situation they need to get out of, but they just throw money at a problem. And when you're trading your personal time with somebody, you know, especially when you're talking about the coaches and trainers and the consultants and healers, it's very important that people are fully invested in you and in the process. And when you're not charging enough, and of course, you know, this depends on a lot of different things, depends on your market, depends on your product, your service, but, you know, there is a point at which you're just not, plainly not charging enough. And there really is no accountability. And what happens, it creates this vicious cycle. Because now you're going out there, you're not charging very much to start with, and then you're not really seeing great results out of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a whole lot of accountability. And so when you tell somebody, you know, hey, I've not been getting a lot of great results, I don't have the testimonials that I would like, and you tell them to raise their fees, it's very hard for them to get that. Because the first thing they think is, well, I'm not getting the results that I should be. I'm not getting these testimonials. I'm not getting... You know, people aren't referring me to other people. I'm not building the business the way I want to. But those people that take that leap and start raising their fees and providing more accountability, I promise you will see better results out of your clients. And, you know, they're investing more. They're thinking about it a little bit harder, a little longer. But when they do make the investment, it's a serious step. And it's something that they are going to get something out of the process. So it's very important to recognize that.
Yeah, and it's an interesting catch-22 that you're pointing to there. It's like you can't really get good results unless folks are really invested in the process,
mm-hmm.
and you can't really invest in the process unless you charge enough.
Yes.
And it's really interesting because we say, well, you know, why should that happen? And we know that some of it is, you know, programming that, you know, we've got this idea is, you know, you get what you paid for. That's very prevalent in our consciousness. And so when you're undervaluing yourself, people really aren't getting your full value, and you can't really give your full value, can you, Tom?
No, you can't. And, you know, here's the thing that you can – you know, I remember a couple years ago when I started off in my coaching business, I guess about 3 years now, I created two programs. One of the first programs was the Charge What You Deserve workbook. But the other was something I called From Lazy to Loaded, and it's kind of a fun guide on how to put all the pieces of your business together when you're starting. And because I had owned businesses before, so, you know, the coaching was new, but starting a business was not. And one of the fellow students that went through this this curriculum with me was kind of all over the board, all over the place with her website, with all sorts of things. So I said, here, I've got a workbook. I'm going to send it to you. And so I emailed it to her. And a couple weeks later, we're talking, and she's bringing up some of the same concerns. And I said, well, I answered that in my workbook. Did you read it? She's like, no, I didn't, you know, and I lost the link. And this is a perfect example. If I charged her $100 for it, I promise you she wouldn't have lost that link.
Mm-hmm.
And I can guarantee she would have read it. But all of the answers, you know, she was asking me questions, and I was kind of like, okay, it's all in there. But that's kind of when I got it, too, that, you know, you can't give too much for free. Because
mm-hmm.
when you do, people, they're not taking it seriously. They're not putting it into action. And it's really important for them to put it into action.
Yeah, and the free portions of your services are positioned in a way that lead people into a more engaging relationship with you. There is a place for, you know, free, but
yes.
not when you're charging for your services.
That's right.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and free early on. If you have a free report or what I love, the mini course, type of a format. When somebody signs up for your newsletter, you can also offer some sort of a step-by-step program.
Mm-hmm.
And this is very powerful because you're teaching them that they can learn from you, Mm-hmm. But you don't want to make it too complicated. You don't want to, because then they're going to say, well, yeah, this is great information, but it's hard to learn. So if I'm getting all this for free, imagine how difficult it would be. So people would place that on there. You know, they think, wow, this is hard to learn, and I can't even imagine how difficult it would be to work with this person. So you really, when you are giving something for free, make it bite-sized, make it something that people can easily digest and put into use. And then always have a call to action. Mm-hmm. And that call to action is to work with you further.
So how do you determine if you're charging what you deserve?
Number one is, you know, are you happy with what you're receiving? And most of the times when you ask somebody if you're happy with what you're making, the answer is going to be no. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they think, well, but I need more experience, or I need another certification. And you don't need anything else to start charging what you deserve. I promise everybody on the phone you're an expert in what it is that you're sharing. Being an expert does not mean that you know the most about your topic than everybody else on the planet. It means that you know more than the people you're sharing it with, more than your marketplace. And to them, you are the expert. You are somebody that they can learn from, that they can gain experience from, that, you know, they can move forward with whatever goals they have. And, you know, I think that's a real problem, too, is that people think that they have to be having more experience so they don't start charging what they deserve. But, you know, the first thing is, what is your income goal? How much do you want to make, and how much time do you want to spend in your business? And make sure that you account for all those little things. You know, part of my home study program includes the lifestyle fee setting formula. And it's simply just a reverse engineering. How much do you want to make? How much time do you want to spend in your business? And what does that come up to on an hourly basis? And while I don't like to trade, you know, time for money, you still have to have some sort of a starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're putting a program together and you know you're going to invest 10 hours of your time at the very minimum, and you want to be making $150 an hour, you've got to charge $1,500 for that. And, you know, that's for your one-on-one. If you have group programs, of course, there are different things to consider. How many people are you going to have? And these are, you know, things that are uncertain when you're starting off. But after a while, you get very good at guessing and, you know, knowing how many people will register, how many people will show up for, whether it's group coaching or selling information products or whatnot. But you really have to be clear, number one, on how much do you want to make. And if you look at your market and say, well, I can't charge that in my marketplace, then you have to make a decision. Either you want to continue working with that market, making less than you want to earn, or you need to change the market. Because the two can't really go together unless you start leveraging your time with group coaching programs and other things.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to say something to that, Tom, because I've discovered something of late that it's also not an accurate assessment to make assumptions about your market.
Yep.
Because depending on if you really have something that someone wants and they're, you know, in your market, on your list, you don't even know what people are willing, you know, what people are willing to pay. That sometimes
Right.
we make assumptions about that.
You're right. Well, if, you know, on my free report, I have the 5 deadly mistakes to fee setting and what to do if you've made them. And one of the biggest mistakes is to make the assumption that you know your market's priorities and budget.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems is that we become so familiar and so comfortable with what we do that we kind of take it for granted. And we start to place a lower value on what we do because we don't really need what we do, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're somebody that's a great, you're great at helping people with their relationships, and you've been in a strong relationship for some period of time, and this is something you're sharing with people, you're not necessarily placing a high value on that because you've gone through the work. But if you kind of go back in time to 5 years when maybe you were struggling with this, that is, you know, where your priority is more accurate. But yeah, never assume to know someone's budget. Never assume to know someone's priorities when they're investing. Because if somebody really wants something, they will find a means to come up with the money, you know, if possible. I mean, sometimes there is a cap for people. But in general, you know, there's always somebody out there. I don't care what's happening in the economy. I don't care, you know, what's going on out there. There are always people out there that will invest with you. And
yeah.
It's usually the marketing that falls short and, you know, there's conversations that we have with our marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the pricing.
So once you figure out what it is that feels like a good price, that feels
mm-hmm.
like really something fair, and I really like, you've got some, you've got a different take on fee setting that after this question I'd like for you to go into that a little bit. I think it was the value-based fee setting.
Value-based fee setting, yeah.
Yeah. But once you feel comfortable with what it is that you're charging, the figure that you've come up with, how is it that you go about implementing that? Let's say you've got an existing client base and you've gone through this process that you described in terms of figuring out, you know, how much you want to make a year, how many hours you want to work, and you figured out, okay, what more or less is my hourly rate, and you want to implement this now. What's the smooth and easy way to do this?
Well, you know, it's not just calling everyone up and saying, hey, guess what, tomorrow I'm going up on my feed, sorry. You know, I think if you have people that have been working with you for a period of time, I do believe in giving them a kind of a grace period and let them know that I am raising my fees, but for you, and I even, you know, recommend sometimes, you know, if you've had people and they've been great to work with, but you do recognize you're just not making the income that you want, and remember, you're getting better. I mean, every day, every minute, you're improving in your business.
Mm-hmm.
You're improving everything that you do, and you're probably doing things so much more efficiently now that people are getting exponentially better results from working with you. So you do need, you know, at some point you've got to come up on your rates and on what you're charging. But say you've got a, you know, you're, I would say, half full. Your practice is half full. So you could double the number of people you're working with. So you have a lot of room to bring new people in at your higher prices. So that's going to help you create some more income. But those other people, you don't want there to be a huge gap, because then you create, there's some sort of resentment in your mind, like, well, if I'm going to spend time with one of these two, who am I going to spend it with? Probably the person that's paying you more. And whether you're consciously aware of that or not, that's going on in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So there can't be a huge gap between what one client is paying and what another is paying. And not to mention, it's not very fair to the people that are coming on new if they're paying double what your old clients are. But I do recommend that you bridge that gap, but you can do it over time. And maybe it's 90 days, maybe it's 60 days, whatever you're comfortable with. And you can say, you know what, I'm going to increase 20% over the next 30 days and another 20% the following 30 days, something like that. So you can kind of ease them into it. And it also makes them feel good that, you know, you're considering them. You're not just saying, well, I'm going to double my fees. And also if you come in and say, you know, this is coming in less than what my new fee is. So you're basically giving them a discount. Then they're, you know, they're going to feel special, and that's good because you're continuing that relationship. But also one of the things that's important is not necessarily discuss the new fee, but just the increase in the fee. So say you're charging $500 a month and you're going to $700. Just discuss that $200 or $150 that you're going to go up. Because for them to continue working with you, if they look at it and say, you know what, I can't pay another $150, then they probably weren't getting very much from the relationship to start with, and maybe it's just time for them to move on. And you will lose some people sometimes when you raise your fees. You know, this is common, but oftentimes it's just, it's kind of organic. You know, it was a good time. They got what they needed from the relationship, and going up on your fee is exactly what they needed as the catalyst to kind of move forward. But it leaves room, you know, creates that new energy for your new clients.
Okay. Wonderful. Is this something, Tom, that even if you've only got a few clients that you can apply this material to?
Absolutely. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you could have one client or 10 clients, doesn't matter. Because you really need to do that. You need to focus and say, you know what, I'm just not charging enough. I'm not going to be happy. And, you know, I think coaches particularly, we get real gung-ho. We go out and we say, you know, I'm going to have 40 clients because there's 40 hours in the week to work, right? Well, that means you're working 120 hours a week. So
yeah.
You're probably working three times that to acquire clients, to do paperwork, to do billing, and all these other things. So when you're figuring out what you want to charge, you got to make sure that you include, okay, what's all this busy time going to cost? You know, I've got to be working on a website, on a blog, writing a newsletter, doing all sorts of other things, any other sort of marketing. If you're doing workshops or speaking or teleseminars, you know, all of this is part of the business. And you need to, you absolutely have to, for yourself and for your clients, you've got to take time for yourself. Because if you're stressed out, you're not, you know, 100% present with your clients, and you're certainly not with your family, with your friends. So it really is imperative for you to take time. And one of the easiest ways of doing that is to start raising your fees. But realize you're not hurting your marketplace. And, you know, if there is more accountability, I promise you're going to see better results out of your clients. But you can also, you can always have other options out there as well. You can have a home study course. You can have group coaching programs or training. Your newsletter, your blog, where they have access to free information. So if they truly can't afford you, but they really want to get something out of, you know, what you have to share, then they have that option.
Yeah, the other thing, too, that's coming up for me around this, Tom, is that when your rates feel good to you, you're really much more present and much more available.
Yes.
And since you're making a good living, I think the quality of what you deliver is much, much, much better, because if you're struggling, it's very hard to be present if you're worried about money.
Yes.
It's an energy zap.
And you know, Adela, here's another thing too, that, and Suzanne Evans, she's a good friend of mine too, and I love her take on this topic as well. But you know, and her whole theme is, you know, help more people. And you know, the same thing, you're not helping people by lowering your fees, okay? Because then people just kind of show up. They do, you know, it's like giving a $17 ebook. How many people actually read those $17 ebooks and put it into use? Probably 1%. If that, even though it could be fantastic information, people just aren't using it. So you're really wasting people's time, and it's okay. Yeah, you can make some money doing it, but that's, I don't think that's the ethical way to develop a business. And it doesn't mean that you don't have lower cost options, but you know, I think that you do need to provide these other products and programs. But you know, one thing too, I want to make clear is that if you're really comfortable with what you're charging, you should probably raise your fees. So if you feel like, okay, I don't, and I just mean in terms of sharing what you charge.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, well, I'm $200 an hour or whatever it is, you're, however you charge, if that's really easy to come out of your body, then you should probably be charging more, because maybe it's that point at which, you know, and you should get comfortable with it, and you should practice what you say. You should get used to saying your fees. But I really think one of the most important things, you know, so often I talk to people and they're not clear on what they charge. And until you're just crystal clear on what you're charging, you're not going to be confident marketing your business and getting it out there and spreading the word. And people kind of hide, and they don't want to have the conversation. They don't. They just avoid it. And that is a barrier to getting clients.
Yeah. The other thing, too, Tom, is that, you know, as you, as you're involved in relationships with your clients where, you know, you're really charging what you deserve and it feels really good and they're getting results, the folks in the other programs that you have, they get the trickle-down effect of that. Because since you're getting fantastic results with your clients, you're sharing that in your other programs, whether it's your group programs, your ebooks, your home study courses. It actually frees you up to really deliver and get results and share that message with other people.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that, and I forgot to mention that as well, that when you are charging more, you can deliver a much higher quality product and program.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can include things that you can't – if you're just charging the bare-bone minimum, just enough to get by, you can't include other options. So you don't have any other resources that you can share, because you're just kind of breaking even.
Mm-hmm.
So you're doing the very minimum. But also not just the trickle down, but think about the trickle out, you know, outward, that ripple effect. When you are getting great results out of your clients, and maybe you're in a business where these people are also business owners or, you know, parents, you're helping their relationships, what does that do? That spreads out. So when they get excited about it and they see the result, you know, they start talking about it and they share what they've learned. And it really goes on as this ripple effect, and it can be an amazing thing in, you know, in terms of the entire world and the energy that you can spread by truly helping the people that you work with and just trying to get the best results.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit about the value-based fees? Because that's a little different than, you know, hourly coaching.
Yeah, this is something, actually, I have to credit Alan Weiss. He's the author of Million Dollar Consulting. And he's a brilliant business owner and business consultant. But his – and I'm not sure that he's the first person to come up with this, but this is where I learned value-based fee setting years ago. And that is that don't just think, okay, well, I should be charging $50 an hour. And one thing, too, people come from a corporate environment, and they kind of equate what they made there with what they should be charging out here. But you have to remember, you have all the overhead, you have the experience, this is all your risk, you should be charging much more than what you were making in the corporate. And I hear people say, well, I'm just going to try to, you know, I'm going to charge what I was making. You know, this is best case scenario, right? This is if you have a full client base, you're not having to put time into your marketing and everything else. So it's unrealistic. But what Alan Weiss shares and what I, you know, carry, and again, it's kind of the ripple effect because I learned this from him and I share this with others, and that is to get away from just that trading time for money. So instead of saying, well, I'm $200 an hour, I'm $150 an hour, you know, people that come from an environment where they were making $30 an hour, it is difficult for them to say that because they don't necessarily value themselves at $150 an hour when they are probably worth $1,000 an hour or more. But when you combine the results that you generate and you equate that to a price, that is value-based fee setting. So what's the value that you deliver? And for, you know, for some businesses, it's easier than others. So, you know, for me, if I can work with somebody and I can help you double your fees and improve your client conversion, you know, we can put a dollar figure on there. And for, and that's what basically would call that a hard topic. So you have hard topics and soft topics. The hard topic is the topic that helps somebody make or save money. And the soft topic is everything else, you know, life coaching, massage therapy, dating consulting or something. So, but those, you know, there's really, for somebody to have a better relationship with their kids or with their spouse, you can't put a price on that. And so if you think, well, you know, that's only worth $100. I mean, for somebody that might be worth $1 million. And it's, you know, some of these things, these businesses that people have out there, they're really changing people's lives for the better. And you really can't even put a price on there. But you have to start thinking about what is that value? What is that worth to my marketplace? And one of the easiest things to do, I think, is if you have a, because one of the first questions I always get is, well, how do you set that, how do you identify that value? And if you have a list at all, if you have a newsletter list, a subscribers list, if you have an e-zine, if you have a blog, if you're in social media and have Twitter friends and followers and Facebook and LinkedIn, put a survey out and ask people, not necessarily what the dollar amount is worth, but just ask them, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how important are these areas in your life? How important is having a better relationship with your children? And have areas where they can even fill in, you know, put their own comments. And you'll be amazed at some of the responses that you get. And you might see that there's, you know, there's some of the areas are weighing a little heavier than you even thought. But that's a great way for you to kind of get in touch with your market. I always recommend people use surveys, and you can go to surveymonkey.com and get a free survey, and you can do as many as you want, as often as you want.
Yeah, that's one of the most underutilized techniques is surveying your market and finding out exactly, you know, what they're thinking, what they want, you know, instead of guessing it for yourself. So that's a great tip. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah. And go back to old clients, too, if you've worked with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have a conversation with them, ask them, you know, what was this worth to you? I mean, honestly, in a dollars and cents, what was this worth to you now that you've experienced it? And, you know, what would it be worth for you to not go back to where you were before? And you might be really, really surprised at some numbers and some comments that you get from people.
Yeah. I wanted to loop back to something that you talked about earlier because you and I have the same take on experts. I wanted to see if you could share some of the ways because I've seen some of the things that you do. And I know that this is the confidence piece is a big piece for people with charging what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
And the confidence piece is related to results, but it's also related to a perception within your own field. And positioning yourself as an expert in something is one of the ways that you can really start feeling more comfortable with charging what you deserve. So can you share some tips or some ways that folks can position themselves as an expert right now, just where they are right now?
You know, there's so many ways to do that. I think number one is, you know, start writing on your topic a little bit. You know, if you have a blog, start writing. Share this information, but share it with people. Don't just write it and then, you know, hide your blog. But share it with people. Get it out there and don't be embarrassed. Don't feel like people are going to criticize you, typically people are very receptive to you stepping up and kind of owning what you have to offer. But start writing articles, and you can publish them at ezinearticles.com. It's ezineearticles.com. And one of the cool things, too, is that as soon as you start publishing articles with them, they come back and tell you that you're one of their experts. So they're, you know, kind of reaffirming this. Oh, okay, I'm cool. I get this badge. I'm an expert. I remember when I first started publishing articles a couple years back. I'm like, oh, how cool. You know, they told me I'm an expert. So good for me. But, one of the things is that you really have to focus on a specific market or group of people that are struggling with or desiring a specific result. So if you're a dating coach, you know, it's really hard to go out there and say, well, I'm a dating coach and I'm an expert. Until you say, I'm a dating coach that works with and describe that person and what they're struggling with or what they desire. And it's not always a struggle. It's not always a pain that somebody has they want out of. It might be that, you know, they have an ambition, a goal. You know, somebody that wants to quit their job and travel around the world. Is this something that you've done and you can help people with? And, you know, you don't necessarily have to be, you know, have gone down that road. I think that the other thing, too, I was at an event this last weekend in Las Vegas, and a lot of people was running into, they're saying, you know, who am I to share this information? You know, who am I to tell people, how to lose weight when I'm struggling with things? It's like, well, that doesn't mean that you don't have a lot of information to share. And I think oftentimes those things that we find that we're struggling with are actually some of the most powerful things that we can share with our market. And I tell people, you know, I do a lot of camping in North Georgia and Tennessee and North Carolina. And if I were to ever hire a guide, someone to take me on a trail that was a difficult trail, I would want that person to have lost their way once and been back, you know. You don't want to follow a guide that's never been lost. So I think people think that you have to be perfect to be an expert. You have to know more than every single person on the planet to be an expert. And, you know, it's funny because I've gotten into so much internet marketing. I have people tell me now, well, you're a marketing guru. And I'm like, well, I never even thought of it that way. But I guess now I am. But I look at other people. I see, wow, there's all these other people out here that I'm learning from. They're experts to me. But other people that are just getting started or have been in business for a couple of years consider me an expert. But you really need to just put it out there that you are an expert. But the easiest thing to do is to focus on a specific market and a specific topic. Stop being a jack of all trades and a master of none. That is almost impossible for you to ever really feel comfortable as an expert and to position yourself as an expert. But it's amazing that, you know, you found me because I've been talking about a specific topic for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy for people to find me. And when I contact them, if they want more information, like, well, here, go to my, you know, my blog, or you can read some articles that I've written and assess for yourself.
Yeah, and the other thing that happens too, Tom, is that other people start talking about you, because I heard about you, I kept hearing about you in a lot of different places. And so that's what starts happening once you position yourself as an expert and get really specific, is that other people start thinking of you as like, oh yeah, Tom, that's the guy, charge what you deserve. You know, you want to talk to him, you know, if you're dealing with that issue. So that's really important, because it's not only then you putting out in terms of blogging or putting out articles and getting really narrow, it's everyone else starts recognizing you as that also.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it really does work that way too. And you have to have that hook. So what is that thing that you bring people in? And that doesn't mean that that's the only thing you share. You know,
mm-hmm.
I help people with client attraction and client conversion and all these other things, because it is all part of, you know, charging what you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a full cycle. But, you know, what's that hook that you have? What's that thing? You know, with Suzanne Falter Barnes, it's that media platform. But I know Suzanne, and she's another Suzanne that's brilliant. What is it with these Suzannes? They're incredible business owners. But she's also this, like, brilliant person, and she knows so much about business. And she can share so much, but if she went out there and said, well, I'm going to share, you know, business tips and strategies, you know, every business tip with every human being, I guarantee her business wouldn't be where it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to have that hook. But that, you know, again, it doesn't mean that you ignore other markets. What's interesting is that I started off only working with coaches initially. I just put out there that, you know, I went through a coaching program. I saw what it was like to go through this curriculum and not have any guidance
right.
around what you charge. And that's what kind of, you know, you mentioned earlier that I started, you know, my first business was in the automotive painting industry. And what I did, I went to automotive dealerships and I did on-site paint repair. And it was a great business for a long time. But if you've ever tried to get money out of a used car manager, you know what difficult sales are like. And that was my day in and day out, you know, having to negotiate with used car sales managers who are the best negotiators on the planet. So it was a difficult place to be. So when I came into the coaching, I'm like, well, this is easy, you know, compared to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I created the curriculum. But it's definitely interesting. So, but that's my hook, you know, is the charge that you deserve. And everyone out here that's listening to this, I know you have that hook, and maybe you already are there. And if you already have that hook and that's your brand and that's your website, then you're an expert. You know, I mean, you're there now. You don't have to do anything else. And it's just step up to that position and own it.
Yeah, and one of the ways you own it is by charging what you deserve.
Absolutely. And it's scary. I mean, I understand. You know, but here's the thing. This is another thing you mentioned, the skydiving. And I got my certification as a skydiver years back. And I always tell people the scariest thing in the world was the drive out and the plane ride up. Every single jump. Because that's the time when you're thinking, you're stuck in your head. Like, oh,
mm-hmm.
But what if? You know, man, what if I have a malfunction? What if I have this? What if that happens? What? All these things going through your head. But when you actually jump, you're having a great time. And frankly, with skydiving, you don't have any choice. But you know, at that point, it's like, well, okay, well, I'm out of the plane, so I better have fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing with setting your fees. You know, you're thinking too much. And just you've got to decide, okay, what do I want to make in this business for me to be happy and to be fulfilled and to give my family and friends what they deserve? What do I need to make? And you've got to just make that leap. And it doesn't mean that there's not room for experimentation and that you're not going to change things. But usually what happens is when people do get out there and they do raise their fees, they find that they never have to come back.
Yeah. Yeah, I have to agree with that. Once you get there, it's like, oh, yeah, but of course.
Yeah.
But it may take
you. Well, people are saying yes.
Yeah, it may take you a bit to get there. I wondered if you might share. I know I want to talk about the business model, but I wanted to see if you might take us through kind of like a step-by-step of, like, let's say someone is, you know, about to meet a client and they're going to go into the conversation. Do you have like a model or a template or a certain style or a way that you do that conversation?
You know, what I like to do is as often as possible, if you can have people introduced to you and what you do ahead of time, and that's through your newsletter, through your report, something. You know, I think too often what happens is people go right into this, and it's like, you know, going out on a date, again, using the dating analogy. You meet somebody, and you're attracted to them, and you go up, and you say, will you marry me? And, of course, you're going to get, this huge no, right?
Yeah.
What we do the same thing in business, right? We go up to people, we're at a networking event, and we're going up to people and we're like these rabid animals, like, hire me. And it doesn't work. And people wonder, why can't I get clients? It's like, well, you didn't give them really any reason. You didn't establish a relationship. And sometimes you have an opportunity to get to know people. You know, I picked up a client while I was in Vegas at this event, but I wasn't looking for it. I had a conversation with somebody. They needed help on a specific topic. I was able to help. And I think we probably talked for 20 or 30 minutes at least. But I had to establish that I was able to help this person, but also that it was a good fit for me as well. Because, you know, I think it has to go both ways. Don't think of everybody as an ideal client. You have to be specific. You need to set some parameters as well as to who you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll make your business a lot more fun. You know, what kind of energy level do you like with people? What are the people that you typically, and again, sometimes this also comes with experimentation, with the experience. You know, when you're starting off, you just want to work with anyone. You know, you're just looking for clients. But you'll find that there are certain clients, like, had that red flag starting off, shouldn't have hired them anyways. And what you're doing is you're filling a slot that could be there for somebody else. And you kick yourself when that person comes along and you're like, I just don't have time because I hired this other person or something like that. You get that all the time. But so it's, you know, I think the conversation, you know, people jump into it a little bit too quick. But so I love to have, you know, to see people create some sort of a relationship first. whether it's 20 minutes or whether it's over a couple weeks reading your newsletter, and then invite them to that one-on-one talk. And it could be a strategy session. Maybe it's free. I don't like these arbitrary free sessions. You get a lot of tire kickers. You don't get great results. I think that's a vicious cycle you get yourself into. But as long as they've gone through some hoops and they've, filled in your mini course, they've completed a mini course or something like that, then you can invite them to have a conversation with you. And during that, you want to work on one specific topic and help them get closer to a goal, whatever that is. And you also then at the end and this is what people do too often, and it's certainly something I did myself when I was starting off, is you have that one-on-one talk with somebody, and this is that free or that low, that initial consultation. And you want to have a longer-term relationship. And so you finish the call, and you say goodbye, and that's it. And you're thinking, man, I didn't get any more business out of them. Well, it wasn't their responsibility to ask. Mm. It was your responsibility. Because they don't know. They don't know that you offer anything beyond that call. It's the story, everyone here may have heard this or something like it, is that the family that goes into the shoe store, and there's a guy that works there, and it's his family. They come in, and he sells shoes to his niece. And then the family leaves, and they're in the mall, and they come back a little while later to say goodbye, and they've got, a bag full of socks. And he says, well, why didn't you buy socks here? And they said, well, you didn't tell us that you sold socks. It's the same thing. You can't assume that your market knows what you have to sell. So one of the easiest ways, I think, to have that conversation is to, without being pushy and salesy, is to let them, describe to you some goals that they have. So what do you want to accomplish in 3 months? What would you like to accomplish in 6 months? And, kind of get them in that place. What would it feel like? This is very important because people have to know, yeah, I really do want this. And, yes, it is time and I am ready to invest. And you just let them know, and you can use this one simple sentence, and that's, I can help you with that. And then you just shut up. And that's the hardest thing in the world, is to be quiet. But you let them think, and you let them respond. And then you just let the conversation go from there. And you don't have to be pushy and say, sometimes people will say, okay, what do we need to do? I'm ready. This is a transition I want to move forward with. And sometimes people will have objections. But the more of these conversations you have, the better you'll get at it.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I'm hearing, Tom, this is great. This is great stuff. What I'm hearing is that basically you've got to find out what their problems are, what their goals are, what it is that they'd like to change. You have to provide enough value that they know that you can meet that, and I can help you with that. And it doesn't have to be like this this kind of schizo thing where you're one way in the conversation, and then when it comes to this, to the portion where you make the offer, then you clam up and you become another person. It can just be just as easy as that, as I can help you with that. That's just so easy.
Don't be pushy. And here's the thing too, and anyone that's listening, this is so important to understand. And again, this is something I know. I work with so many people that are heart-based entrepreneurs, and you're caring, you're giving, you want to help people. Well, if somebody signs up for your newsletter or they have some interest in learning about what you do, it's not because they just have a lot of time on their hands, okay? It's because whether they're able to, get it out of their mouth or not, they're seeking some sort of guidance. They want some sort of help, okay? People are too busy to sign up for newsletters they're not interested in, they're interested at some level, and maybe, whether it's a 1 to 10, I don't know where it is, but at some level, they're interested. And when you just let them go without letting them take that next step with you, there's two things that are going to happen. A, they're not going to improve or get what they want, or B, they're going to go somewhere else and get it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to you, but, sadly, what happens is oftentimes, people are like, man, I'm at my wit's end. I really want help. I didn't have the confidence to ask for guidance from this person. They didn't offer it, and now I'm stuck. And there's nothing wrong with you asking. You're in business. You're obligated. If you want to keep your doors open, you've got to ask people if they want to take that next step with you. But it doesn't have to, again, it doesn't have to be pushy. Just let them see what they can accomplish with you. And guess what? That whole, so often people are talking about, well, we're going to meet, 3 times a month on the phone for an hour. And you know what? Nobody cares. the methodology of coaching or consulting, whatever it is you do, it could be a magic wand and they'd be just as happy. And in fact, it would get there even faster. So that's where you get into that value-based fee setting. It's not the amount of time you're spending with them. It's the results that you're going to help them achieve. That's the point at which people really start to invest. And I think one of the problems coaches have, you know, go to the typical coaching website, and I'm not trying to poke fun at anyone or anything, but because we're taught to do this when we're going through coaching school, you know. Well, you need to have that pat, you know, explanation of what coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, most people, they're just not going to get it. And for most people, that's going to be kind of a turnoff. You know, it's just they're not familiar with this. But when you let them know, you know, you don't have to let them know how you do it, but to have a conversation and say, I can help you achieve these goals. And then you can open the conversation up. And when they're interested, obviously you're going to tell them, you know, the details, but that should come last.
Right. Tom, can you tell us a bit about this business model makeover?
Well, you know, that's basically just the idea of, you know, people out there, there's so many different business models that people have. So that's just kind of a theme that I have for, you know, a process that I take people through or people need to think about. But there's so many business models, and I think what happens is people, they, you know, there's that bright, shiny object, and
mm-hmm.
I've certainly been suspect of that myself. I think most entrepreneurs, you know, we're so creative. We're interested in new things, and the new, better mousetrap comes out, and so we buy it. So there's one-on-one coaching. There's group coaching. There's, you know, teleseminars. There's, you know, blogging. There's so many different ways to build your business. And it becomes very frustrating. And people listening have probably been at your wit's end doing this. You know, you can do workshops. You can do membership sites. This weekend at the event I was at, there was a lady that spoke up, and she said, you know, I've done private coaching. I've done group coaching. I've done information products, and none of those work, so now I want to start a membership site. And it's like, oh, no. The problem is that people ignore the marketing, and they ignore all the other things. They're not surveying their list. They're not you know, finding out what their market really wants. They're too broad about what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and they're not making the sales that they'd like to. And that right there creates the problem. And starting the new business model doesn't solve those problems. What it does, it ties up your time and money and resources and energy and everything else. And certainly, you know, a membership site, people want to make membership sites sound like, oh, it's so easy. It's still marketing. You know, you have to do all the same things, all those fundamentals. And, you know, this is like setting your prices. I think when people set their prices lower, they assume that they can just throw it out there and people will just buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they ignore the fundamentals. They ignore those things that, you know what, there are still things that you need to do to convince people or to let people see that investing with you is good for their life or their business. And until you convey that by letting them know, hey, I can help you with this problem, I don't care what it is you're selling, whether it's $10 or $10,000, the steps you have to take to get them to hand you money, they're the same. And it's the same thing, regardless of the business model that you have, whether it's one-on-one coaching, whether it's group coaching, whether it's, you know, train-the-trainer type of a model, membership programs. Those fundamentals have got to be in place. And too often people bounce from business model to business model.
So what are some of those fundamentals? I know we don't have a lot of time to go into a lot, but just can you just share some of those with us?
Yeah, you know, number one, identifying who your marketplace is. You know, so going back to, you know, the same thing with positioning yourself as an expert. This is something that everybody that owns a business should be very clear about. Who is it you work with? Who's your ideal client? This can change. You know, this is an evolution. But right now, today, who is it that you're going to go after? Until you do that, you don't know where they're hanging out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you work with everybody on every topic, well, that's the entire world. So you don't know where to go. You don't know where your marketing is going to start. You don't know where to direct your conversations. You don't know where to go and chime in on blogs. You don't know where to start. So the first thing you've got to do is be clear on who do I work with and what do they need. So what's that problem? What's that burning desire, that big, you know, problem that they have that you can help them with? And then it's easy to find them. So then step number two, okay, now I know who I'm working with and I know what the problem is. So where do I find them? You know, you go to groups.yahoo.com, groups.google.com, go to Facebook. There's a group on every topic under the sun. Go to selfgrowth.com and find people that are already speaking to your audience and see if you can join them on a teleseminar. There's all sorts of different ways, but when you become clear on who you're working with, then you know where they hang out. You know where to find them. Then you can also find out what are they saying. You know, what's the language that they're using? And, you know, because different groups are going to be very, you know, you're going to have different specific language that they use, specific, you know, keywords that keep coming up. And when you can hear that, when you hear something coming up over and over, start using that in your conversations, in your marketing. These are your buzzwords. You know, these are the things that grab attention. So these are the fundamentals. You know, it's just, it's marketing 101. And people think, oh, I hate marketing. If you hate marketing, there's only two things for you to do. Well, three things, really. Number one, find someone to do your marketing for you. Number two, find something you like about marketing and do it. Or three, you're going to go out of business. Because without marketing, at some level, you can't survive. Everything is marketing. You know, creating relationships is marketing and building a business. But it can be fun. You know, I think too often people get wrapped up in this, oh, Facebook, I don't want to be on Facebook. Well, then don't be on Facebook. You know, I think it's a powerful tool, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. But if you hate it, then don't do it. Because there are too many other ways for you to build your business. And people out there are like, no, but I'm told I have to be on Facebook and I have to be on Twitter. You know, I don't know what happened that businesses were building. You know, people were building multi-million and billion-dollar businesses before social media ever existed. So there's all sorts of things that you can do. But you've got to get those fundamentals. So it's really just the basic marketing. You know, identifying who you work with, what can you do to serve them right now, and also what's the quickest thing? And this gets into the business model. And instead of getting, you know, real clever about what you offer your market, what's that one thing that you can offer tomorrow? And for most people, it's whatever you're doing, you know, your private coaching, your consulting. And again, people get frustrated with that because they don't have enough clients. And they say, well, I'm going to start a group coaching program. And yeah, I mean, you can definitely leverage your time and you can have a lot of fun with group coaching. But your best testimonials, your best results and feedback and marketing research will definitely come from the private work that you do. That's
yeah.
We overcomplicate things, you know. So it's really just keeping it simple, too. You know, try to keep it as basic as possible. Work on something until it works or until you see that, okay, there's a problem. How do I get past this? And then expand.
Wonderful. I want to take one question. There's one question here. We've had some comments, but one question here I want to make sure we address before we go into explaining your special offer today. This is from Elizabeth Nelson in Clearwater, Florida. Should you advertise your rates for one-to-one or group services on your website or just for special packages?
That's a great question. And, there, you know, there's really not a – I'll be honest with you, there's not a best answer. I don't put mine out there, and the reason is that I don't mind having the conversation with people. If you just clam up every time when you have that conversation with somebody, you just can't get it out of your mouth, then I would say go ahead and put it out there. And there are two schools of thought here. Number one is that if you put your prices on your website, people are just going to price shop you. Okay, so they're going to look at you, and they're going to say, well, this is a coach. They're going to go to another coaching site, and they're going to say, this is a coach, and they charge 30% less. So then they've just made a decision based on price. It has nothing to do with the value that you offer. You might have something completely unique, and it's, frankly, they're hiring you, not coaching, right,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is that you're doing. So, you know, I don't think that it's a great idea, but then others, you know, I know people that do this very successfully that do have their price out there, and the reason is that they – kind of want to weed people out anyway. Like, you know what, my price, and especially for people that actually have higher prices, they would rather keep it out there and say, you know what, I want people to come here and you know, they're going to know that it's a serious investment before I have a conversation with them. So you do know going in, okay, if I'm talking to somebody and they came from my website, they have a pretty clear idea about what I charge. And so there are those two trains of thought, or schools of thought, and I hate to be, you know, ambiguous. I can just say that I don't advertise mine on my website. But it really has to do with you, and I do encourage people, listen, if you just – you really struggle with having that conversation with people, then that is a way for you to get your prices out there so that people can see. And so that's the – you know, is I guess is ambiguous.
Well,
I hate
yeah,
to give a wishy-washy
yeah.
answer, but there isn't a best way. It's what fits you.
Okay. Great.
I hope that helps.
Tom, can you tell us about your Client Attraction Weekend that's coming up soon? And there's actually a question on the webcast, but I want you to tell us a little bit about it first, and then I'll ask the question.
Absolutely. So the Client Attraction Weekend is something, and of course, all my this is actually a group coaching program, and it's taking place, of course, over a weekend. But it's kind of a cut to the chase. Let's get this one piece of your business, this one system in place that is really probably holding a lot of people up. And I mentioned earlier that I love the mini course. I love creating some sort of a course that is not just, you know, okay, here's a five-part. I see people, they'll get a transcription, they'll break it into 5 points, and they'll put it out there. But there's never a call to action between each of those steps. And unless there is, they're not doing anything with the information. You've got to have a call to action. And you have to time it right, and you have to tell them when the next one's coming out. So what you're doing is you're building your credibility. You're building the fact that you're reliable. And when you say you do something, you do it. And at the end, you have a call to action. And provided they finish the e-course, they can then be invited to either a free one-on-one with you, you know, for 20 minutes or whatever, or a discounted one-on-one with you, or whatever fits your business model. What is it you're selling right now? And what I've done is I put together a program that walks you through all the steps on not just creating a mini course, but getting the mini course done, and you know how to attract your ideal clients on autopilot, how to educate your market, positioning you as an expert. Because again, this is another way of doing that, and that's when you can educate someone on a specific topic, they look at you as an expert. Mm-hmm. Period. It doesn't have to be any more difficult than that. You can automate the scheduling of your initial strategy or coaching calls within this mini course. It actually comes after the mini course. I show you how to do that. To train your market to want to pay you and not your competitors. That's what this is all about doing. So this whole program, you can find more at going to Adela, A-D-E-L-A, clientattractionweekend.com. And I've got all sorts of video and audio support. I actually have, I think, about 5 videos that I've completed that are ready to go. Got a fill-in-the-blanks template for your mini course. You can take a look at my mini course to critique it, and so you can see what I've done and all the pieces that I put in place, and I explain that. I've got some laser one-on-one coaching time with me, 3 live Q&A calls. And so the idea with this is that when you get this in place, all you have to do is feed it. You get people into this mini course, and then you get your calls starting to schedule. Okay, so you start just getting that buzz and building, you know, getting better at those client calls and building your business. And it doesn't have to be the one-on-one. You can put them anywhere you want. And if you have a group coaching program that's always coming up, or a home study program, or if you're a therapist, this is a perfect way to kind of weed people out to make sure that they're interested in you and your topic, and then you have that conversation with them. And I also go over what I call awareness activities. I know people hate to say marketing and promoting, but you know, when you think about it, just creating awareness for your business, there's all sorts of different ways of doing that. And Sunday afternoon, we're going to go over, you know, what fits your business the best and what fits you ideally. What do you like to do during the day? Again, if you don't like social media, let's find something else for you to do.
Wonderful. And I know that you will also include how to get this all up on the web, don't you?
I do everything. There's not going to be anything that's left out from a technical aspect. The only investment you're going to have is that you need to have some sort of an autoresponder. If you already have a shopping cart, then it's probably in place. If you already have some sort of a newsletter, then you probably have what you need. It's AWeber, Constant Contact, iContact, any of those. The tutorials that I have are based on AWeber because that's what I'm most familiar with and what I use. But I do, like, all the stuff that I do behind the scenes, you know, I have a VA that helps out with a lot of the stuff, but I do a lot of it myself as well because I enjoy doing it. I'm a little bit of a geek in that way. So I can walk you through all this stuff. And,
okay.
You know, if you want to create video and add that to your mini course, you can do that. You can do audio. If you're not comfortable with that, I don't recommend you do it. You just do a printed one right now. And you keep it simple, and it shouldn't be too complicated, again, because then you're just confusing the people. You're making it hard to learn from you, and that's the last thing you want people to get from you.
Okay, wonderful.
And I'm also throwing in, because today was my birthday.
Happy birthday, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. For anyone that purchases by tonight, I'm actually throwing in my Charge What You Deserve home study course. This is 3 audio CDs plus the entire workbook. And this is the physical product. I'm just going to cover the cost and ship it out to you. But that's only good for today, until tonight at midnight Pacific time. This is just, it was my birthday thing. So if you go to adela.clientattractionweekend.com, you'll see on there, you know, big yellow, you know, important notice or some whatever I put in there. So I do explain that right at the top. But all the details are in this. I'm terrible about explaining all this. I've got so much involved in this, but I don't want people to feel overwhelmed. We're going to get a lot done in the course of a weekend, and I have two weekends set aside. One, is, and you just get a ticket to whichever one fits your schedule. One is for the 21st and 22nd of this month of November, and the other one, I know that's coming up quick, the other one is for December 12th and 13th. So you just pick your weekend. There's two separate payment buttons. Grab the one you want. And the entire weekend, it's $297. You can't get a full hour of coaching with me for that. So, and you're going to get that much from me, okay, because I love doing these types of events. I love these weekend events. I actually participated in a write a book in a weekend event, and I actually wrote my book in a weekend, which is amazing. It's amazing what you can get done in a weekend, and this is not that complicated. There's not that much content. It's going to be fun, a lot of fun. And it's just one of those things that, you know, if you don't have a system in place right now for attracting clients, not just attracting clients, but converting them into attracting prospects. You really, you're always attracting prospects, not clients. So attracting prospects and converting them into clients. If there's not a system in place, then you're probably going through that feast or famine where, okay, you're making some money and then you're not making money.
Right.
Okay, now I got to go get more clients. Okay, what do I do? So you're always kind of behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
You're never in the flow. And this helps you get in the flow. It's a piece that just works for you 24/7.
Yeah. Did you say that one of the bonuses is the Charge What You Deserve home study?
The home study system, which actually I don't even have the sales page complete with that. I'm launching that for $297. So I'm actually
That's an extraordinary course. There's so many tips. There were, I don't know how many tips that you had on just positioning yourself as an expert. There were loads of tips.
I think 11 in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
I'm glad you enjoyed that.
Oh,
so, yeah, they get that. They get the physical product. You're going to get the workbook. That's a binder plus three CDs. That's my birthday gift, but that's only until tonight at midnight.
Okay, wonderful.
So hopefully people are listening and have an opportunity. If it's something you're interested in, grab it and, you know, do what you have to do to get involved in one of those two weekends. And, you know, if you buy the one for the November and something comes up, don't worry, I'll put you in the December one. That's not a problem. Regardless, you're going to get all the audio, all the video, all the stuff. You get all the recordings of all the calls. Everything's going to be downloadable. It's not just playback. So it's yours to keep forever.
Wonderful. And I will send a follow-up email to folks tonight if they didn't get the website, adela.clientattractionweekend.com. Britt from Denmark just had a question. She's in Europe. And it starts at 5 p.m., which is going to be really late for her. But she says the live calls are scheduled. Is it possible to connect via Skype or a web connection?
Yeah, I can do it. And she's talking about the Client Attraction Weekend. Because it starts that's right, because it's 6 hours up there, because it's starting at 11 a.m. here. No problem. I'll tell you what, because I could probably do something where – under that circumstance, maybe we can have a little time to connect before the kickoff call. And the reason I did 11 is because then it's not too early on the West Coast, because I have a lot of people that are going to be coming in from the West Coast.
Right.
So that's 8 a.m. That's kind of the earliest I could make it. But I'm up and around, so, you know, I'm going to accommodate. That's one thing I always do is I'm going to work with you and your schedule as best as I possibly can.
All right,
so
fantastic.
So we'll make it work for you.
You've got birthday wishes from Elizabeth in Clearwater, Carol in Evanston, and Elisa in Tucson.
Thank you.
Yes.
This is a great birthday, actually. This is very cool.
I'm so glad that you sent it with us, Tom. Thank you so much.
That's great. I mean, I love it. It's, I enjoy doing this. So
wonderful.
You're like crazy. You're crazy. You're working on your birthday. I'm like, no, it's fun. I don't care.
Wonderful.
I have no problem with that.
So thank you, Tom, so much. I know we went over time here,
sure.
And thank you for everyone who's still on the call. Thank you
everyone.
So much for all of the information, all the tips, and for being here and sharing so much with us, Tom.
Well, thank you. I love your interview style, and I love the way you started everything off.
Thank
you, breathing.
Tom.
Very good.
Thank you. So I'm just going to open up the line so we can say goodbye.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.